Hello, friends, and welcome to the program. Hello, Lou.
How are we doing today?
Good. How's your new studio working out?
Very good. A little bit chaotic here and there, but, you know, with the new startup, but we're doing okay.
All right, friends. So we are actually now on the last few verses of chapter 18. And without further ado, we'll jump into verse 60, then 61 and 62. These, people say, are some of the most important verses of the Gita. Although others say that this is just a basic repetition of what we've learned already. You decide. So verse 60 says, you are destined to do action. You are destined to do action because of your swabhava, your nature, your personality. That which you do not like to do, because of your delusions, even that you will do helplessly as time goes on. What does that mean? So he's talking really to Krishna. Sorry, Krishna is talking to Arjuna. Mm-hmm. And in that, what Arjuna is a warrior. His father, his grandfather, a whole clan was just nothing but warriors. They've been born and bred to fight. They're Kshatriyas. So he has fought many wars. He's not a coward, but he's afraid over here to fight. It goes against his grain, his swabhava, his nature, his personality is that of a fighter above all. But here he says, I don't want to fight. I'll do something else. Because his mind says, I do not like to fight this particular war. So he's going along with his mind's likes and dislikes and says, I don't want to fight. And Krishna says, when it goes against your grain, your nature, your swabhava, your personality, it's going to cause you problems. And you will act regardless. If you don't fight this fight, you'll walk away from this war. And he didn't say this, but that's what he's implying. Then somebody at some point down the future will say, oh, you're a coward because you left that war. And what will happen? You'll immediately pull out your sword and you'll start to fight with him. Yeah. So he says, helplessly, you will fight. At some later point, that will come out. Do you want to say something, Lou?
No, I was just, yeah, that's right. He's going to eventually pull out a sword and take that out on somebody else.
Right. So, you know, another example is if somebody is of the Vaishya tradesman, you know, he's a born and bred, the way he just thinks in terms of just doing business all the time. Everything is buying and selling, buying low, selling high. And he says, nah, I got to go to the Himalayas. I got to become a Brahmin. I have to pray. I have to study. And he goes, what happens? Next thing is he says, oh, these trinkets that these native people are making, they're so nice. I could probably buy some and then sell them over here to tourists as they come up into the Himalayas. And I'll use this money to. So the natural swabhava, your personality, doesn't go away. This is your swabhava, this is your personality, and you will keep doing it. So what is your swabhava? Your swabhava, your disposition, your personality is something, as we've said before, that comes to you from your previous lives and your gunas. So those of you who have read the three episodes that Lou and I did together on reincarnation, you will see how people are reincarnated and continue what they did in the previous lives. Very, very fascinating thing. If you haven't heard it, go back to those episodes on reincarnation. I think you'll find it quite interesting. So those previous lives and the karmas and the things that you did are carved into your mind, almost like a vritti, an impression that you then display in this current life. And you have no way of getting past it. That vritti, that impression will force itself out on you. It is determined by your past. It forces you to do actions such as what Krishna says, if you stop fighting, then you'll fight somewhere else when somebody calls you a coward. You go up to the Himalayas and you're a trader, you will be forced to sell trinkets just because your nature says, I need to sell. So what he says here is, if that is your swabhava, if that is your personality, get used to it, accept it, and then use it for a proper purpose. Yeah. So if you're a trader and you say, I want to go into the stock market, and I'll buy stocks when they're low and I'll sell them when I'm high, I'll make a lot of money. Then use that skill, use that personality of yours, those powers that you have to make a ton of money, but then use that money to do good things with it. Give it away to charity, do something good with it. So you cannot change your swabhava by willpower. That's a given. It'll be forcing you to do actions that you don't want to do, that you think you don't want to do. It'll come out at some later point. Arjuna was a warrior and he had to fight this war. Duryodhan, who he was fighting against, was a criminal. He had done a lot of crimes and Arjuna had to fight him. So just as your personality says that you need to do something, you have to do it. That's the only way you'll get peace of mind. So find out your genuine nature. The natural cause of the action, your action, is interfered by what? It gets blocked by your mind's raga and dvesha, your mind's likes and dislikes. Your mind says, I don't like to do this. So Arjuna's facing these cousins of his and the other, and right now we're seeing this in Russia and Ukraine, and the Russians say, I don't want to kill these people. To some of them, they're my cousins. Right. And even if they're not my cousins, Ukrainians, I feel like they're my cousins. So Arjuna felt the same way. He says, I'm putting my bow and arrow down, I'm putting my sword down, because his mind's raga and dvesha were interfering. Even though another part of him said, look, I may not want to fight these guys who are the soldiers, but their leader, the general, the Duryodhan, is a criminal and it's bad for the country. I have to fight for the common man, not just to protect these soldiers. So if you choose to do what your mind tells you you shouldn't do or don't want to do, you may ignore your basic nature, but your vasanas will not stay quiet forever. Your vasanas, the example I gave you of the person that goes up to the Himalayas to do a prayer, instead starts selling trinkets, those vasanas will come out one way or the other. Krishna teaches Arjuna to ignore his mind's wishes and to use his intellect to control his mind and his likes and dislikes. So he says, think of fighting for the common man. So an elephant, he says, will be an elephant. No two ways about it. You can't change his personality, right? So we know that. A cow will be docile and peaceful and quiet. A cow will be a cow. A tiger will be ferocious. You can't ask a tiger to be like a cow. You can't ask a cow to be like a tiger. Yet, we expect ourselves to be different. We right. will be what our personality is. If we're mild-mannered, if we're gentle, no matter what environment you grow up in, that's your environment. You too. So don't follow the dictates of your mind. Don't follow what it says. I like this. I don't like this. Instead, conduct your life as a karma, as a duty, dedicated to the Lord. You say whatever you say, and this will you'll see this in the next few verses, this episode and next, where you're doing what you're doing as a dedication to the Lord, to the Supreme, to Brahman, a life of duty, keeping God uppermost in your mind. You always have to keep God and what you're doing as a duty uppermost in front of you. So next verse, verse 61. Brahman resides in the hearts of all beings. Brahman causes all beings to spin around as if mounted on a machine, a yantra, by his maya, his illusory nature. So he's saying Brahman causes, if this is a machine and you or all of us and the world is situated on it, this thing keeps going around like a toy on a machine. Mm. What is a yantra? A yantra is a machine. Surprisingly, even 5,000 years ago, I guess they had certain machines of this kind. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either.
So he's saying at that time they were called mantras. And mantras, sorry, not mantras, yantras. Yantras are machines that are expected to behave a certain way. There's no two ways around it. This is fascinating how he uses the example. Yantras, if you have a machine that you wind it up with a key, it will do what it was meant to do, right? A music box or what are those little things like puppets dancing on a stage? You wind up the key and every time it will do the same movements. So he says, we as human beings, this whole world is like a yantra, a machine that is programmed by Ishwar, by God, by Brahman, to act a certain way. Each one of us is programmed by the yantra to act a certain way because of our previous lives. So we are like machines. You know exactly how you will be acting. There's no surprises. When you go against that machine, that's when you run into a problem. So I'll give you an example. When I was 16 or 17, I remember there was a very, very important, we had it according to the British system, where you have your exams towards the end of school, one exam a year, and then you pass in that exam, you do well, you go to the next level. Otherwise, all is lost. Mm-hmm. I studied hard for this exam. And when I went and I sat down for this exam, they gave you five questions and you had to answer all five. I am looking at all five questions. I didn't, my mind was a total blank. I didn't know anything. I said, oh my God, of everything I've studied, these five areas, I guess I mustn't have studied this, is totally blank. I was panicking. You only have a certain amount of time in which you have to answer. Every second, every minute is important. So I just closed my eyes, I prayed, and I said, I will leave it up to you, Ganesh. I will leave it up to you, God. You decide. I am just an instrument in your hands. You take the exam. And Lou, I kid you not, my pen and my hand started moving. I swear to you, I was looking at my hand. I said, who's writing this? I don't know a word of what is being written. I came out with the highest marks at the end of that. I answered all five questions, answered them well. I kept writing so fast, my hand was flying across it. I said, I don't believe this. I don't even know what I'm writing. I have no idea what I'm writing. But obviously, this is all within you. This is in your conscious mind. You don't recognize it. You are consciousness. Now, I can be conscious of this video camera. I can be conscious of noise around me. I can be conscious of what I see, what I smell, what I taste. But that being conscious of is from consciousness. Consciousness is so powerful that essentially at that point, I was turning over to my own consciousness and saying, boss, you're in charge. You decide. And my consciousness says, good. Get rid of all those extraneous thoughts. I don't want you focusing on that guy or that person. What is he writing? Why is he picking his nose? Why is he scratching his head? Get rid of all those distractions. If you leave it to me, 100%, I am pure consciousness. You have studied this. I just needed one glance at it one time, and I absorbed it. So I have virtual proof of that starting at that time and many times since thereafter, where I just say, I'm devoting this to God. And when you think of God as a different entity, when you think of God as somebody up in the sky, the attitude is different. When you see God as you, as your pure consciousness, and you just devote yourself to consciousness, then the end result is much different. So, and we'll talk some more about this as we go along. But you may say, I don't believe this. I don't believe in God and this Brahman and consciousness and all of this. But imagine that you're somebody in Mars and you see this satellite that has come up from Earth, but you don't know it. You're an ordinary person in Mars and you see the satellite and you say, hey, where did this come from? And somebody tells you, this came from Earth, millions of miles away. He says, what's Earth? I don't see it. You don't see it? Oh, there's a place called Earth over there. So, well, and they're controlling this satellite from there. Yeah, there's a place in Houston, and they're controlling the satellite from there. So, I don't believe it. Come on. This can't be from millions of miles away, billions, now even more. They're going to control this thing that's right in my backyard. I don't believe it. Similarly, if we were to tell you that surrounding you right now, there's Wi-Fi waves, internet waves, there's TV waves, there's radio waves, all of this right around you, enough to fill CNN nonstop all day, news about what's going on, you won't believe it because you don't see it. Similarly, friends, Brahman has this influence on you. You are purely an instrument revolving around this machine, and that's what you need to believe. So if you're spontaneous and you allow God to do your actions, like I did with my exam, you're ahead of the game. It's your own feelings, your I-ness, my-ness, I'm the greatest, I can do this. That's what interferes with you letting your own consciousness take over completely. He says, surrender to me, right? He says, Brahman resides. Did I read this verse, Lou? I forgot. I'll read it again.
Okay.
Brahman resides in the hearts of all beings. He's saying Brahman resides within you. You, it's there. Now, it doesn't mean it's in your heart, not your left ventricle or your right atrium, right. Nothing like that. In your heart means in the core, in your core of your being, in every cell that you have, that's where Brahman is. Brahman causes all beings to spin around as if mounted on a machine, a yantra, by his maya, his illusory nature. What does maya, illusory nature, refer to here? That when you look at a machine that's spinning and a doll is dancing, you say, who's doing that?
Yeah.
You did it because you wound up the key and you let go. But at that time, you say, who did it?
Yep.
It looks like an illusion. So he's saying, Ishwar, Brahman, the Lord, within you is making you do all this. You don't even realize it. Like I didn't realize it when I was taking that exam. Atman, Brahman Supreme, does everything. The earth moves, it maintains the barometric pressure, the humidity, the temperature. Everything is exact, and that's all done by Brahman. Because of Brahman's presence, just being there, he doesn't actually have to do anything, just making everything go, everything works as it should. The world, the mind, the intellect, everything is just rocking along very famously. So that's verse 61. 62 says, seek refuge in him with all your being. Seek refuge in him, in Brahman, with all your being. By his grace alone, you will achieve supreme peace and you will achieve the eternal abode. Surrender to him with your whole heart. Same thing that he's saying again in this verse. Mm-hmm. Some people say that these are now the concluding verses of the Gita. He's basically saying here, Krishna says, surrender to Ishwar. And the next verse, he'll tell you how to do this. Come to me, he says, come to me as Brahman. Drop your sense of doership. Give it up. I did it, me. And let me do everything. Just as you surrender the beating of your heart, you don't make your heart beat.
Right.
Just as you surrender the breathing of your lungs, you don't say, I've got to make my heart beat. I've got to take my pulse and make it go the right way, or your breathing. He's saying, let your mind and intellect not think I am doing this. It's like you're in a river that's moving fast. You're just in the river. You can't fight the river current. So you just let go. And you go much faster along with the current. Allow yourself to go to say, I can't fight it. So I'm just going to go. Let go of your ego, as I did when I was taking the exam, and you will see it happen, like in a powerful river with a current. Just float and let the current push you along. If you do that, you achieve supreme peace, he says, and happiness. If you do this, you achieve supreme peace and happiness and the eternal abode. That eternal state of oneness with God is known as self-realization. All with pure surrender. You're not in charge of your life, not even partially. You're not at all in charge of your life. You may think you are, but really your life is not yours to decide. These are things that your karma has decided, what you have to do. You can decide certain, with your free will, certain actions, and those you will pay the price for or get the reward for in a future life. So I don't feel like doing that. I won't do it. I want to give it up. You'll give it up. I want to do something. You'll do it. These are all done by you without any discrimination. No viveka. You don't say, okay, should I do it? Is it right? And that's why these results happen like that. You only have discrimination over your actions, not over the results. So Arjuna had to fight this war. What Krishna says is, if something is inevitable, just go with it, face it, and do it intelligently, like that river current that we were talking about. Surrender to me, he says, and do your duty as if you're doing it for me. Then you will succeed and you will be peaceful and calm, and you will accept whatever happens, because then you say, I didn't do it. He did it. Brahman did it. I had nothing to do with it. But you have to prepare, just like I had to study for the exam, but then I couldn't do it. And then I left it up to him. I got the highest marks. Had I just frozen and said, no, I can do this. I can do this. I'm struggling with myself. Probably some gibberish would have come out on the paper. I do what is to be done, which is, on my part, the studying. Ishwar will make happen what has to happen. So you say, okay, I did my part, now it's up to you. And that's what they say is in sports, that when you think that you're going to make 100 points, 100 runs, you know, when you get up to 98, you say, okay, I got to do this. I got to do this to make 100. You usually get batted out.
Yeah.
But if you say, okay, I've prepared, I've studied, I've done this, now I know what I have to do to play, and the rest is up to God, you'll get past that 100. I do what has to be done, Ishwar will do whatever else there is to be. You are just a cog in a wheel, but you're important, don't forget. You are an instrument in the hand of God. If you take the help of Ishwar, then it takes the pressure off you, and you can't blame yourself. Then you can't even give credit to yourself. Don't forget, you can't blame yourself, but you don't take credit. But at least you'll be peaceful and happy. Let go of your emotions. Let God take care of everything. So these were three verses, 60, 61, and 62. That's towards the end of the Gita. Now sort of bringing everything together, saying to you, do what you will, but give it up to God. Let God do it. So, and you'll see more in the next episode, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us.